Tape 2, Side 2. Now of all the scriptures which we listed, we only quoted from Ephesians 2:20, but at this point, I should like to quote from 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 7. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Yes, all these scriptures refer to the headstone, which is Jesus Christ himself, who is the captain of the ship of Zion. When I was a young boy in school, I was taught a poem concerning a captain of a ship, namely Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States of America. And a verse I recall to memory illustrates the thought I desire to portray in parallel. It is pertaining to Lincoln's assassination. O Captain, my Captain, O crimson drops of red, where on the deck my Captain lies, fallen cold and dead. Now I desire to bring vividly to your mind another captain of a ship, a greater, divine, everlasting, eternal captain who is forever at the helm. O Captain, my Captain, O crimson drops of red, because of love laid down your life, O death I need not dread. O Captain, my Captain, the celestial city on yonder's distant shore, where on the deck my Captain stands, risen, alive, forevermore. Hebrews 10:14 says, For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. During the time phase, the ship of Zion sails across the sea of the pages of time. Now let us take up first, number one, how to now, in time, keep house in the church, the ship, while it sails on the sea. You remember we have 2 points we're looking for now. Number one is how to now, in time. And number two, looking forward to and into forever. But first, number one, how to now, in time, keep house in the church, the ship, while it sails on the sea. Before going any further, I desire to consider the sea. Let us look at the sea. Timely in beginning, incarnate, but eternal forever in durability and endurance. The sea is great. The sea is a river. The sea is a stream. The sea is the Lord. Isaiah 33:21, But there the glorious Lord will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. The analysis, but there where? Let us go back to verse 20. Isaiah 33:20, Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. This is the grand old ship of Zion, the visible, organic, organized, militant church kingdom that is sailing upon the sea and the river and the stream of the pages of time. This sea and river and stream is the glorious Lord Himself. The church is, the church kingdom is in and on and of the Lord forever. The work in the church, in the ship of Zion, not in, on, or of the sea. The church was passively on its part placed in the sea, the Lord. Now the church kingdom does not of its own power move upon or in the sea, the Lord, as it is sailing from the wind of the Holy Spirit in and on and across the sea, the Lord, through the pages of time. Isaiah 33:21 again, but there in the church, the ship of Zion, the glorious Lord provides a place in Him for sailing upon and across broad rivers and streams. The sailing is powered by the Holy Spirit, but the very elect are the passengers in the ship of Zion. And in the ship is where we work, keeping house for the Lord during time. I want to say that again. But the very elect, the elite among the elect, are the passengers in the ship of Zion, and in the ship is where we work. That's where we work out our own salvation. That's where we press. We're keeping house for the Lord in the ship where we're working during time. Again, Isaiah 33:21, wherein shall go no galley with oars, that is, no works of man to power the ship across the sea of time. The Lord is the sea. We sail in during time, powered by the Holy Spirit, and the power of rowing or sailing is not of man. Again, in Isaiah 33:21, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. That is, there is but one ship. Only one ship of Zion. Only one true church here in this time world. No other ships, gallant or otherwise. No other ship to draw away our attention or eyes of faith unto something else. Only one ship and one captain. That's beautifully illustrated in a different form, but the same principle of lesson in Songs of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 9. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yes, during the time phase, the ship of Zion sails across the sea of the pages of time. First, number one, now how to now, in time, keep house in the church ship while it sails on the sea. Again, Isaiah 33:21, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. Arminian churches, the denominational flavors of the world, appear to be gallant ships by their beautiful buildings, but the glorious Lord is not their captain. Their works is their captain. They are trying to sail or power themselves into and upon and across the sea, which is the Lord, by their good works. Good works in the ship is good and right and proper, but not to get in the Lord, or upon, or in, or across the sea, the Lord. This is the work of the Holy Spirit and not of man. Once man is in the ship and upon the sea, then man can and should work in the ship. Now, how do we work in the ship of Zion? Simply by keeping the captain's orders precisely. How do we keep the captain's orders precisely? John 14:15, Jesus says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Matthew 22:36-40. "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You can also see that in Matthew 19:16-26, where the rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked questions. In Hebrews 12:2, it tells us, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Hebrews 2:10 says, "Looking unto the captain of the ship of Zion." Only unto Jesus the captain. Ephesians 2:8-10, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, let us shift our attention for a moment to another type, picture, symbol, figure, shadow of the sea, the glorious Lord. And it is found in Ezekiel 47:5. "Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over." We have, number one, living waters. Number two, gospel waters. Let us rightly divide the word of truth, as 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us. Let us examine Ezekiel 47:5 in these two phases. Number one, living waters. Number two, gospel waters. Listen close. "These living waters became a river that could not be passed over in the glorious Lord, in the person of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit moves the Lord into the formation of a river that cannot be fathomed. The Holy Spirit creates us in Christ Jesus, so all elect swim in the river of the Lord, but only the very elect, the elite elect, are in the ship of Zion, which is sailing in and on and across the river or sea, the Lord, during time. There are many, many more live, living fish swimming in the river than are or will ever be in the ship of Zion. Those swimming in the river do not know this, but they all are in the river, Christ Jesus Himself, but not in the ship of Zion, which is sailing on the sea or the river. If they were not alive, they could not swim. But they do not have to be in the ship of Zion to be saved eternally. I want you to remember that. However, the ship of Zion saves them from the timely elements of swimming outside of the ship, notwithstanding they are still in Christ Jesus, in and who is the river, the sea, or the water. But by being in the ship of Zion, you miss many of the storms of life, the storms of the sea. Yes, you miss all these storms while you are in the refuge the ship. Now during the time phase, the ship of Zion is sailing across the sea, the Lord of the pages of time. We are considering how to now, in time, keep house in the church, the ship, the church, while it sails on and in the sea, the Lord. And we consider Ezekiel 47, verses 8 and 9 concerning living waters, regeneration or the new birth. Then in Ezekiel 47 and 10, we begin to look at the phase 2, gospel waters. Number 1, living waters. Number 2, gospel waters. Ezekiel 47, 10, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Ineglium. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. The analysis. The fishers are God-called ministers. First, the forerunners, historically in the Old Testament, priests, judges, kings, prophets, then John the Baptist, then disciples, apostles, evangelists, New Testament ministers, pastors, and teachers. The ministers today stand upon all doctrinal and practical truths of the apostles' doctrine, Ephesians 2:20, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And we find in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The New Testament ministers today stand and spread, preach the nets, the gospel, from Engedi even unto Ineglium, that is, the full circuit, from one end of the river to the other. In the river or sea is the only place to fish for live fish. And all live fish are elect and are in the river or sea, that is, in Christ Jesus. But very few of them are in the ship of Zion as it sails upon the sea, the Lord. We can see the River Jordan and the Sea of Galilee when we see the full circuit. The Sea of Galilee receives water and equally gives up water, is unselfish. And the water, the Sea of Galilee, the word Galilee in Greek means circle, and the Sea of Galilee gives to the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is a picture of water baptism. Remember now, most all the live fish are elect and they're in the river or the sea, and very few are in the ship of Zion. This is most beautifully taught in principle in the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus Christ Himself in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, many would want to make that an eternal proposition of either heaven or hell. But this is pictured in that river in Ezekiel 47:10. All the fish are alive and are in the river. Very few are in the ship of Zion. So we find that to enter in at the strait gate, the strait meaning difficult gate, you have to press into that straight gate and it's narrow in its way, which leadeth unto life, and it does not say unto eternal life. And few there be that find it. That leadeth to destruction means they're going to be in the river in Christ, but at the same time in many of the storms of this life. And that is a destruction within itself. Therefore all live fish which are sheep and not goats, sheep have always been sheep and have never been goats, and goats have always been goats. Therefore all live fish are sheep, are in Christ Jesus forever, but are missing in time the benefits of being in the ship of Zion, which is the earnest of their salvation, the payment aforehand. We find in Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. We find this earnest of the inheritance of being in the ship of Zion illustrated in the Scripture many ways. It's called the earnest of, the joy of, the glory of, the gift of, the Lord Jesus Christ or the Holy Ghost are having the glory of it, which is a foretaste, a payment aforehand of what heaven itself will someday be like in its full, whole, complete. This is why the fishers are fishing for the live fish. They're not fishing for goats or for dead fish. The ministers, the fishers, desire to boat the fish. That is, to get them in the boat or the ship of Zion. Not many fish are caught timely, but the fisher's duty, and there is no discharge in that duty, to preach the gospel and spread the gospel nets and fish for live fish from one end of the circuit to the other. Ezekiel 47:10 says, their fish shall be according to their kind. Their kind. As the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. In other words, in the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea, there are all kinds of fish. And not only different kinds, but exceeding many. Do you understand the point we're making? There are exceeding many live fish in the sea, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 7:9 it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Yes, we have exceeding many. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Ezekiel 47:11 carries the picture further. We now see the Dead Sea. The waters have flown from the Sea of Galilee down the Jordan River into the Dead Sea, the final receptacle of the Jordan River, 1,319 feet below sea level, the lowest depression upon the face of the earth. Ezekiel 47:11 says, but the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. There's a picture of the total dead depravity of man, especially the non-chosen that remain dead, alienated, and depraved in Adam. Now we carry the picture further in Ezekiel 47:12. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Let me quickly refer you to Revelation 22, 1 and 2, for a parallel. The Apostle John, while exiled on the Isle of Patmos, saw this vision by divine inspiration and wrote, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." We can see that the analysis of Ezekiel 47:12 takes us into a church picture, the ship of Zion, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of the ship. So the analysis, the river is the Lord in the person of the Holy Spirit. The trees are children of God, explicitly examples of patriarchs of old, and righteous martyrs, disciples, and apostles of Christ, who are watered and refreshed by the river, the Holy Spirit, in its second function, the Comforter, as noted in John 14:16 and verses 18 and verse 26, John 15:26 and John 16, verse 7. Again, we find in Psalms 92:14, even in old age, in Isaiah 61:3, called trees of righteousness. In Psalms 1:3, like a tree planted passively by the rivers. And we find in Jeremiah 17:8, waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf shall not fade. Again, in reference, Psalms 1:3, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In Jeremiah 17:8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That is, in the ship, where the earnest of the inheritance is, as is mentioned in Ephesians 1:14. Now in Ezekiel 47:12 again, the analysis continues, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. That is, these fruits are the trees, are the children of God. These trees, fruits, are their good works of righteousness, sustained by the grace of God in the third person of the Trinity, that is, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, in its second function, that is, the Comforter. Let me briefly at this point refer you to Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, Galatians 5:22-23 says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Hosea 14:8 says, Ephraim shall say, What have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. The fruits of the trees are by Jesus Christ, the river, the fruits of the trees, and even the roots of the trees are planted by the river, Jesus Christ. Matthew 3:8 says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. These fruits of these trees shall stand forever and not be consumed. The graces of the Holy Spirit with good works, that is fruits, flowing from them are abiding ones as faith, hope, and charity. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, we find the Apostle Paul writing by divine inspiration, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now we examine closely that these graces of the Holy Spirit with the good works, the fruits flowing from them, are abiding as faith, hope, and charity, and these never die, are incorruptible seed, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life, says Jesus in John 4:14 to that Samaritan woman. And he says that well of water springing up unto everlasting life is forever. 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. His seed, Jesus Christ's seed, is what abides in whoever is born of God. Now let us further consider the analysis of Ezekiel 47:12. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months. We can find in Matthew 3:10, John 15:1 through 8, on through 16, Matthew 7:17 through 20. We find some interesting things dealing with fruits here. We find that is new fruits are first fruits. Every one of these trees are true believers. They are continually in the exercise of grace, performing duty in working in the ship of Zion, not trying to get in or working into, but they are working in the ship of Zion, constant and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, and they never cease from yielding fruits of righteousness. Now let us quote a scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Again in Matthew 3:10, let us consider. We find, and now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Let us look at the positive side of it now. In John chapter 15, we begin at verse 1. Now listen close. Jesus is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. We find in verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. We find that you will bear much fruit in verse 8, and in verse 16, your fruit will remain. Now, one point is most important here. Jesus is in John 15, 1 through verse 16, not making a propositional plea to dead, alien, lost, dead fish, goat sinners, but he is making a declaration and a proclamation of those who abide in him and as contrasted to those who do not. Now Jesus again in Matthew 7, verse 17 through 20, again says, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now let us get back to the analysis of Ezekiel 47:12. Another part of the passage continues, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. Remember, number one, we've got living waters. Number two, we've got gospel waters. We consider both phases or aspects of that. First, living waters. The living waters which became a river that could not be passed over is the glorious Lord, manifest in the third person of the Holy Spirit in its first function, that is the regenerating, creating power of the new birth. These same living waters go into each singular individual elect at the point of the new birth, and then goes collectively into the body of the visible church in its second function, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and endows the sanctuary, the church kingdom, and as the minister preaches the gospel, causes the waters to flow or issue out of the sanctuary. And the waters with living gospel waters, the living trees, and causes them to bear fruit, first fruits. Yes, the minister is preaching the gospel, spreading his net in the waters, and this issues out of the sanctuary and causes living trees to bear first fruits. The preaching of the gospel is what causes live trees to produce fruit. Preaching the gospel does not give life to dead trees, but only has a utility in causing trees that are already alive, that is, made alive only by the creative force of the Holy Spirit, living waters, that is God Himself in the third person, in His first function of creation, it causes it to produce and bear fruit manifestly. It is the preached gospel waters that issue out of the sanctuary of the church. The true gospel, as contrasted to the perverted gospel of Galatians 1, 6 through 9, and I'm going to divert just for a moment and reiterate that to you because I want you to know it and to have it clearly. Galatians 1:6-9, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Yes, it is the preached gospel waters that issue out of the sanctuary, the church, the true gospel, as contrasted to that perverted gospel, is preached by a God-called minister, endowed by the Holy Spirit, oiled and seasoned by the grace of God, a continuous supply. It causes gospel waters, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to issue out of the visible, organic, militant church kingdom, the sanctuary, from the altar, which is the place in the sanctuary where the minister makes his gospel offering, by preaching or watering the live trees, the true believers are the regenerated, born again, newly created in God's Spirit, children of God, elect. Yes, it is the God-called minister endowed by the Holy Spirit, as Paul says in Galatians 1:11-12, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. We also find in Hebrews 5:4, and no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. We find in 1 Corinthians 2:1-5, the Apostle Paul says it like this, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yes, we very clearly see that it is the God-called minister endowed by the Holy Spirit that's oiled and seasoned by the grace of God, that causes gospel waters through the Comforter of the Holy Ghost to issue out of the visible, organic, organized, militant church kingdom, the sanctuary, from the altar, which is the place in the sanctuary where that minister makes his gospel offering by preaching and watering, by spreading his nets and watering the live trees to make them grow. The live trees are the true believers, the regenerated, born again, elect children of God. You know, speaking of growing, in 2 Peter 3:18, Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You see, Peter is not telling you to get life, but he's telling those who already have life to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, this illustrates and teaches back to that ship of Zion that's sailing across the seas of the pages of time. It's not a powered ship. It's not a slave ship, but it's a sailing ship. And the Holy Ghost is the power that sails it. And we work in the ship as the Holy Ghost causes her to sail across the sea, which is in Jesus Christ. Now let us get precisely, closely back to our analysis of Ezekiel 47:12, a further passage. Because their waters, they issued out of the sanctuary. These gospel waters ran down to or by these living trees, these converted souls, disciples or followers or learners of Christ in the ministerial calling to preach the gospel, that is, spread their nets and watered them, refreshed them, and made them fruitful, and therefore are called their waters, their gospel waters. Remember again John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, we have been talking about bearing fruit and much fruit, and the fruit should remain. So back to trees. I repeat, all trees, all elect children of God are trees, trees of righteousness, as is recorded in Isaiah 61:3.